What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, a movie podcast where our motto is, we just hope it doesn't suck. This is episode 377, broken up into two parts, A and B.
A, B.
Ooh, double duty again. 377A posting on April 9th. 4-9 will be a discussion on Godzilla, Cross Kong, The New Empire, and 377B, posting on April 12th, will be a discussion on Spaceman, a Netflix original with Adam Sandler. I am one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell. Joining me, as he does every week, is my co-host, Roger Stillion. Chris has moved with his family to Switzerland so he could pursue his dream of yodeling. Much to the dismay of many people, he just up and left, and he's going to pursue his yodeling dreams. I support him 100%. Roger, what do you say about this?
He's a subpar yodeler at best.
I mean,
it's a fool's errand.
It is a fool's errand. I want to picture him in long dreads and yodeling about eating his lunch. Birkenstocks and yodeling about eating his lunch. And yeah, I totally can picture him doing that. And that long beard of his sometimes. And Yeah.
There's that.
All right, what's going on this week, Roger? How's it going, my friend? What's
so up? Tomorrow is the eclipse, so if we don't all self-immolate, then you'll probably hear more from us next week. Probably it's like 50-50, honestly.
All right, 50-50, whatever. What if this eclipse brings about the end of the world? Then no one will hear this episode.
So I made that joke at work recently, and three out of the five people near me went, I go, legitimately all go at the same time. I fucking hope so. Well, it says a lot about my employees and their mental, my work family and their mental health.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, I would also agree with that, because the ones who don't go, the life for them is just going to be shitty.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I agree. But I don't think the world's coming to an end anytime soon. At least I don't think it is. I mean, it could be.
It's unlikely. Impossible.
I mean, this could be. We could be living on borrowed time, honestly. We could.
Except for the fact eclipses happen, you know, every year. And it's just the time it's our turn to see one. So
yeah, sure. And I totally get that. But
multiple
there's like
times
every
a year
time
in some
you,
areas.
every year there's always some weird, I don't want to call it crackpot, but like weird theory about why we're getting some kind of weird, you know, because 2012, like, the people legitimately thought the world was done. Like, it was over, done. We were headed for destruction. And then nothing happened, as predicted by most people. And, you know, it didn't happen. But did you harbor any weird 2012 theories?
No. I just remember 2012, when the Earth was supposed to end, was actually a guy you know and a good friend of mine. His name's Nick. That was actually his 21st birthday.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
There you go. Hell of a 21st, man. Hell of a 21st.
Fucking hilarious, right?
Fucking hilarious indeed. Well, it got cold here a few days ago, and it's been cold for a few days now. Like, to the point where, like, I have to wear a jacket. Mm. I'm like, what is this? What is this nonsense? I'm in Los Angeles, man. I don't want to wear a jacket. But it's been very cold lately, so that's what's going on here. How's the weather in the Ohio Valley?
A lovely 62 degrees.
Balmy 62.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's nice. Back east, you guys have, there's this thing called humidity, which makes 62 sometimes feel like 70 or 75, but here, there is not much humidity at all, so 65 is actually quite cold. Mm. Yes, indeed. So other than that, just been soldiering on as normal, working, living, watching movies, doing podcasts. I'm actually eating these wonderful Easter cookies that I had left over from last week. These are delicious. I've got to say, they're like, you can hear the bag opening to one of them. It's like a buttery, so good. It's probably so bad for you. That's why they're so good, but man, they're delicious.
How were their Dr. Pepper peeps you ate?
Well, the office was kind of split. I meant to tell you this. The office was split on how these things taste. So my production coordinator, he thought he was doing something nice for the office, and, you know, most of the stuff bought on Amazon. So he bought some peeps, but he didn't realize he bought an entire case of Dr. Pepper peeps.
Oh,
instead of,
God.
And instead of like two packs, he thought he just put two packs. He said he was moving quick, and he just wanted something nice for the office for last week. And let me tell you, they are exactly as you would think a Dr. Pepper peep would taste.
Fucking disgusting. Got you.
Awful. I didn't. There was, it's funny because like one of the people in art was like, these actually aren't bad. And she just kept eating them like, you are not human being.
Good. These are
not
yours. Take them.
Yeah, that's what I, that's like, well, I'm
here's
sure you'll have
256 packs of Peeps. Congratulations.
That's, I mean, I look, some people like them, some people don't, but we have a funny Peep story, which we'll, I guess, not tell this year, but Dave remembers. Dave was so bad that day. Oh my gosh. So every time I think about it,
his Peeps.
Every time I think about it, I just, he was so mad that we, so well, I guess the story is short. One year that I was working at Marquee after, well, after college, Roger, myself, Roger, and another assistant manager, Dave, was working. And he just, he put his Peeps on the counter and just went about his opening duties. You know, we were all kind of getting ready to open for the day. And then Roger and I, like idiots, we stick all of his Peeps that he had purchased with his own money into the microwave.
Well, I asked him before if he'd ever seen a Peep microwave because they blow up real big.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And he said no. And I said, all right, well, give me one. And they gave me a handful of them. And then we vaporized them in the microwave. And yeah, Dave wasn't real happy about that.
Well, he didn't expect us to do it to the rest of them.
Well, you know what? He didn't specify that I couldn't do such a thing.
I mean, that's a weird way to look at it.
Look, look, I replaced his Peeps.
You did, but he was so upset. He was like, I mean, that was genuine upset. I remember on his face too.
He was sad.
His afternoon treat or his morning treat was taken away from him. But
yeah,
he could have had one mega Peep with had a bunch of eyes melted together.
One melted goo pile.
Yes, Peeps are disgusting. I've tried. There was a Dr. Pepper one. I know that this year in the office, someone had like blueberry Peeps, and I don't think I've ever had a Peep that I enjoyed. I don't think that's a thing. So,
no, they're gross.
They're gross, but it's like candy corn. They just keep coming back, dude. They're never gonna go away ever. Anyway, moving on. Do you have a preferred Easter candy, real quick?
So yeah, actually I do. And actually, so this year for the first time, they've actually made them better. So like, I love like those little Cadbury mini eggs that are just the thin candy shell with like the good chocolate in the middle of them, not the disgusting Cadbury cream eggs. Those are fucking gross. But this year they made them in dark chocolate. So hell yeah, brother. I'm a big dark chocolate guy.
We had a bunch of those little tiny like ice cube trays of mini Cadbury eggs. You know how they sell them, those little tiny trays. I like the big Cadbury eggs where you can like eat them and like there's that gooey center.
Those things are fucking gross too.
What? I like those.
No, disgusting.
All right. Well, I mean, just because you don't like it, Roger, doesn't make
it disgusting. They're fucking gross.
Okay. Fair enough. But I think the best Easter candy is the Reese's peanut butter egg. A Reese's peanut butter cup in the egg shape.
So there's a new version of those now too. Mm. I don't know if you saw this. Now they have what they call the Mallow Top. They have their regular Reese cup underneath, and then the top is like white, but it's not white chocolate. It's marshmallow chocolate, and it's not like marshmallow like texture. It's really good, actually.
Is it really good? Okay,
I enjoyed it actually. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I'll have to give it a go. I know a lot of that Easter stuff goes on sale now, so it'll be like dirt cheap. To some stores want to get rid of it. So
yeah, no, it's already gone.
I might give it a go. What else? Anything else this week, or just add one more to that?
No, so I watched some movies this week. So not the movies we're going to talk about. So I finally watched Boys in the Boat.
What'd you think?
So I liked it. It's got some problems. Obviously, you know, we didn't end up talking about it on a show, but like I enjoyed it overall. Like it was a good story. Those dudes must have worked their ass off to be able to do what they did. So
I'm sure they did.
I respect them for that.
Did you think that my review of Spectacularly Mediocre was right on the money for that?
Yeah, no, that's probably fair. Because like at times it's really good, and other times it's kind of like, what the fuck? But yeah, you know, it's fine. It's not out there or anything. Like, look, it's a good old people movie. I watched it with a bunch of old people on Easter, or the day after Easter that we're still like hanging around. So,
all right, fair enough.
Yeah, you know, there's that.
Glad you finally watched it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. It was just like middle of the road for me. So,
yep.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed myself. What else did you watch?
No, I'm actually drawing a blank. Oh, so I watched one of the, I watched Godzilla King of Monsters again in lead up to Godzilla. It's still as bad as I remember.
I disagree, but we'll talk about that one later. But
I watched something else on Netflix that I don't remember either.
Not Spaceman. I watched Baby Driver.
No, I did watch Spaceman. We'll talk about that in a couple hours.
I did watch Baby Driver again this week, which was...
Good movie.
Yeah, I really like Baby Driver. I think it's a little out there, but... Yeah, I do overall think Baby Driver is a great much better than average movie. So yeah, no, watch that one as well. Let's get started at the 9:50 mark. Let's do it.
Do it.
Let's do it up. Let me close this. Hold on. Close. All right. Here we go.
Yes.
This is episode 377 of For the Love of Cinema, a podcast about movies, film, and cinema. It's posted each and every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. on Podbean, which then distributes to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and now YouTube. Each week we start with the box office, current and upcoming releases, what streaming, trailers, and movies of the week. Without further ado, and for the first time in a few weeks, let's talk about the box office, because we didn't get to it last week, which is odd for us. But
we did it a day earlier, remember?
Correct.
Because of Easter.
Oh, yeah, of course. That doesn't happen very, very often. But
no. Nope.
The number one spot, of course, goes to Godzilla x Kong, the new empire, the God-given Easter movie this year. $31.7 million domestic with a total in 2 weeks of $361, which that's not too shabby, I gotta say.
As the good Lord willed us, blessed us with another Godzilla movie.
With some saviors fighting together to take down another big bad. Number two, Monkey Man, $10.1 million, which is a worldwide of $12.7 million. That's a shame because I bet you that movie was not cheap to make because stunt guys are not cheap.
Well, when we talk about that next week, and we will talk about it, I have some real stuff to talk about how that movie came about.
Good. I'm sure it's all interesting. A lot of stuff I come find out about movies is like it's actually more interesting than the movie itself. It's just kind of how it came together. But yeah. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire number 3, $9 million, bringing a worldwide of just a very sad total for you, Roger, 138. I know you expected more from that one.
It's what it deserves.
Sure. I mean, I don't think that about any. I mean, most movies, but The First Omen, $8.4 million with a worldwide of $17.4 million. It's doing very well and is actually getting positive reviews. So there you go.
Yes, so that was a nice change.
Well, it just doesn't happen that horror movies usually get positive reviews. So I'm happy that it is. Kung Fu Panda 4. Go ahead. Speak your whatever name for it.
Nope.
Okay, $7.9 million, number 5, with a worldwide of 410. Can you believe that's beating Godzilla vs. Kong?
Well.
Can you believe that?
I mean, here's the thing, right? And I'm not saying that it will, but it is within striking distance of $500 million.
It could. It could trickle
in. It has a chance to trickle to 500. And here's the thing. This movie, we talked about it when we reviewed it, is an okay movie. Yeah. Nothing special. Like, look, if you like Kung Fu Panda, you'll like this movie. But it costs significantly less to make. So,
I agree. I agree. Well, that's the... And for at least the next few weeks, it still doesn't have much in the way of competition for dedicated
kids movie.
You know, is kid safe? You know,
listen, take your kids to Monkey Man. It's fine.
Maybe read the warning, read the poster first.
Do not do that.
Why?
No. Listen, this is America. You can do whatever you want, brother.
I mean, you can, but it's See? I just think you should do your due diligence first. That's all I'm saying, viewer or listener. Please do your due diligence. But as Roger has the funny story of Kick-Ass's angry parents the first day, like, I mean, well, who are you angry at, mom and dad? I mean, who are you angry at?
Yeah, no, it's your fault.
100% your fault. I actually find it quite funny when people at the movie theater would come to you for things that not only were outside your control, but number two, were 100% their fault. And they would say that, They want things for this, and like, look, we'll do what we can, but at most, you're going to get your movie ticket money back. Let's not get crazy here. People are nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you can make all the demands that you want. Cool.
I remember one time this guy came up with my fourth week when I was 16 working at Carmike Cinemas. This guy came up with a medium popcorn bag, and he said, "I want a refund for my popcorn." I said, "Okay, let me get my manager over." I said, I called over Mr. K, our manager, and he looks at the guy and says, how can I help you? And he goes, there was a problem with my popcorn. I want a refund. And my manager looks in the bag and says, but there's no popcorn in here. He goes, oh, I ate it, but it wasn't good. I'm like, what do you want a refund then for? Like, that's always in my mind. It's like, are you kidding me? What are we even talking about this? You're wasting my time. Get away from my counter. You ate the whole freaking thing, man. Why do you want a refund? Anyway, So yeah, that's some weird. Boy, I could talk for hours about movie theater stuff, but yes, indeed.
Yeah, I worked for a telecommunications company. I can tell you how stupid people are. I won't do that today. But right. I can.
Fair enough. Well, it's
I
well
assure with, you that I can.
It's well within your, it's well within your thing to do that. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm really good at it.
Let's talk about some upcoming releases. This past weekend, The First Omen, Monkey Man, and Wicked Little Letters goes wider. Very excited for 2 weeks from now, Roger, when we talk about Civil War, which came out, which comes out on the 12th, and Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead and Sting. I already have tickets for IMAX. I'm super excited for Civil War. Very excited.
Yeah.
April 19th, Abigail, Hard Miles, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and Sasquatch Sunset goes wider. April 26th, which is a Friday, Alien re-release. Fucking A. I didn't know they were doing that this year, but I'll take it. I'll watch that. Challengers and the Mummy's also getting a re-release with Brendan Fraser. That's pretty awesome. What are we talking about? May 3rd, which is a Friday. The Fall Guy. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace gets re-released. And Tarot. May 10th. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And We Grown Now. I'm interested to know what that actually is, so I clicked on it. We Grown Now is growing up in the 1990s Chicago in Min Hall Beige's We Grown Up trailer. Or We Grown Now.
Okay,
I might check that one. That one looks interesting. I like those kind of retrospective looks back. May 17th, Back to Black, If Imaginary Friends and The Strangers, Chapter 1. May 24th, Furiosa, Mad Max Saga. I know that's big with you and Chris and myself also, but I know you really love that movie. And the Garfield movie, and it's funny how a movie you love and a movie you couldn't care less about the same day are released.
No, it doesn't matter to me. Never going to watch it.
But Garfield or Mad Max?
Garfield.
Garfield. And May 31st, Ezra, which I got to, let me ask you, I don't think we talked about this last week, but we've seen the Ezra trailer with Bobby Cannavale. What do you think about that?
So, I mean, I think it's interesting. Like, it hits home for me because my daughter has special needs. I don't think I usually don't talk about that too much here on the show, but... It looks like that could be a good movie, and I hope it's done well. So that one might be one of the ones I'll check out. Probably not, you know, immediately. I'll wait till it hits streaming to take a look at it. But
That's a movie that's like ripe for like streaming content. Like it'll be strong on streaming for months because people will just check it out. But yeah, I like movies like that. In the trailer, looks at it. Same with that one with who was in Madam Web? What's her name? Dakota Johnson and. Uh-huh. Sean Penn is a taxi driver. It's just I'm excited to see these two movies because I like to be reminded, and I often forget because I'm a huge budget type of guy, is movies don't have to be $100 million. I mean, they can be super small budget and very low key and still be very powerful, very well done. So I'm excited for those for that reason. But June 7th, we'll stop here in June, but Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, big deal for me because that was literally all of my last year was Bad Boys. Bad 4 Boys, yes. And The Crow. Sorry, Crow, you're going to get crushed by Bad Boys, I have a feeling. June 14th, Pixar's Inside Out 2. I'm sure that'll be massively successful.
Yep.
And The Watchers. June 21st, The Bike Riders and It Ends With Us. And then 28th, I'm going to say it's fast so you don't have any chance. Horizon and American Saga. There you go. Horizon and American Saga. And A Quiet Place Day 1. Have you seen the trailer for Horizon American Saga with Kevin Costner? What do you think?
I have seen it, and it looks interesting. Feels like it's going
to
be.
That's it. I think that's his passion project. Like, he put all of his money behind that, so I'm really excited to see how that.
All
turns
of it,
out.
Like he's got no money no, left.
I'm pretty sure he's got a few dollars tucked away. No. I mean,
yes, I was like, indeed. He's going for broke, huh? That's nice.
Well, we'll stop there because July is where it starts to get weird because there's not been a lot of stuff confirmed yet. But we'll stop there for now. But I mean, strong start for the summer into the deep, deep summer. Strong start.
Yeah, it's a decent lineup. There's some real stuff sprinkled in there. So yeah. I'm down
peppered,
with that.
As we say, peppered in there, as we say. Let's look at some. Did I tell you?
I don't think I told you. I want to talk about Civil War for 2 seconds here.
Sure, absolutely.
So the reviews are coming in about Civil War. It's supposed to be very, very good, right?
Good. That's great.
Yeah, but the thing is like, it's not an action movie. They call it a war movie from the journalism perspective. So, and that's how it works out. That's how the whole movie is. So it seems really awesome to me with that kind of idea. So,
oh, nice.
I'm down with that.
Those kind of movies are on my radar always because I hope it's non-biased and it gives you kind of good look. If they're going to do that, then they have to equally represent both sides, which I hope it does. But given given the director's previous films he's been involved in, I'm sure it's going to be a well-written film. I have no
doubt. In my own mind, Civil War and Purge are in the same universe.
Everything should be in the same universe.
It's true.
Why not? All right, let's take a look at what's streaming this week. We are at the end of our rotation on HBO Max, and there's only two of us this week, so there'll only be two movies. Mine is The Last Castle. I think I've talked about this somewhat in the near
future. Okay, that's the other movie I was supposed to talk about, actually, and I'm not even kidding, because Last Castle, so like where I work, we have TVs everywhere, and we can watch whatever we want to in our break room because we have all the channels, and Last Castle was on HBO. And it was one of the ones where I found myself watching it during my lunch break. And I'm like, man, I used to dig this movie a lot. So I actually went back and watched it the next day, watched the whole movie all the way through.
That's what fucking I do too. And
sweet flick, man.
It is. Okay. So let me just, directed by Rod Lurie, but Robert Redford, James Gandolfini, Mark Ruffalo, Clifton Collins Jr. and Delroy Lindo, to name a few. 2001, The Last Castle. It is. So Robert Redford, he has to go to a military prison because of something. A general that, but like generals don't do like normal prison like the rest of us. Anyway, he gets himself thrown in gem pop and then he organizes, he just wants to do his time and get out, see his grandchild. It's a little more complicated than that. He is at James Gandolfini is the prison commander. And of course they clash and then he organizes this whole insurrection, but we're on his side. So we follow it. And it is one of those movies, I think for a lot of people, completely flew under the radar. And it's such a shame because it's a great movie. Yeah. I really dig Last Castle. It's one of the movies I turn on and then I just turn over and listen to it because it's so many great people are talking. I love their voices. So
yeah, no, it's a good one, man. I actually that's one of the ones like I'm glad I caught it and I was like I'm gonna watch the rest of this movie because I dig it.
It's got a hell of an ending too. It's like one of those endings that you don't forget the long time.
No, it's like it's not perfect, but it's memorable.
And that's a good praise is saying it's memorable because movies these days just aren't memorable whatsoever. So yeah, I'm glad that you checked that out again. You liked it. I've always been a big fan of that one with Robert Redford. But and you chose, and I got to say, this is your favorite, Pulp Fiction by Quentin Tarantino, John Travolta, Uma Thurman, Samuel Jackson, Bruce Willis, Tim Roth, Phil Lamar, Ving Rhames, Eric Stoltz, to name a few. 1994.
Yes, sir. So this is a movie that introduced me personally when I was a young man to Quentin Tarantino. And as I've gotten older, obviously, I've continued to follow his work. You know, he's very distinct with the kind of movie he makes. He's very selective on who he casts and for certain reasons. So I've been a Tarantino fan ever since then. I think Pulp Fiction is an incredible movie. One of the movies that still holds up very well. If you're good with language, you'll enjoy it very much. And I think Pulp Fiction, I mean, listen, it's a little bit long. It's told in a completely crazy storyline. It's not linear at all, and once you piece together what's actually happening in the order that it's supposed to have happened, you're like, whoa, that's a really good idea. So I think it's pretty cool.
That's a good favorite movie to have. I was really kind of like, when you first told me that, I was like, okay, that movie's got some substance to it. It's not like someone's like Iron Man from 2007. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Also, the original Iron Man is a good fucking movie.
It is, but it's not best movie. It's not like
it should not be number one on your list.
No, it like, never. None of them should be. But yeah, Pulp Fiction is a good movie by a good director who knows how to tell a story, especially in that nonlinear fashion. That just kind of what's it called? Like when you Tarantino something, it's like a nonlinear fashion. Yeah, it's just I've always been Pulp Fiction. What's Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs?
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, those are two of like I could watch those all day, baby. It's the other one. Like Kill Bill to me is a little weird. I've never really fallen in with like the
so. Kill Bill was never my favorite, but I have a buddy of mine who thinks Kill Bill was like the be-all, end-all movie. And listen, I respect it. It's good. It's just not my favorite Tarantino. Obviously, Pulp Fiction is, but like I put it behind, I put Kill Bill behind, Inglourious Basterds and Django. So like at best, it would ever be his fourth or fifth place. So. And it's behind Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is fucking incredible.
I think I agree with you. That was a damn good one. You know, I was going to talk to you. Maybe we should do one episode, like a B episode.
Oh,
like
let me talk about Tarantino.
Yeah. Just rank the Tarantino films. Amen. But that's a good one, man. Pulp Fiction. And I have a special screening. I don't want to talk about it yet because like I'm supposed to have some special guests in the special screening at one of the AMCs. So I'm hoping I want to talk about afterwards, but I'm hoping it's going to be a good time because I'm going to dress up like Sam Jackson. I'm going to put on a fro. I'm going to wear a suit and tie. I'm very excited. You're supposed to dress up like your favorite characters from the film. So I'm really looking forward to seeing all these hardcore fans who they dress up
like Uma Thurman.
I mean, I hadn't considered heroin. Maybe I will. But
do it.
Those are available to stream if you are a subscriber to HBO Max, The Last Castle and Pulp Fiction for your viewing pleasure. Let's talk about some trailers. Here's a big one, and people have been predicting this for a long time. We knew it was in production. The teaser just dropped, although we've known it was in production for a while because Michael Keaton is on the up and up, man. It's Beetlejuice with Michael Keaton, Jenna Ortega, Monica Bellucci, Winona Ryder, Willem Dafoe, Catherine O'Hara, Justin Theroux, Bern Gorman. This is a big deal, and I think, Roger, you and I are in the same camp with this. This is a big deal, but I'm not entirely sure it's going to get the box office it deserves.
So, I mean, I don't know, right? So, like, Beetlejuice is one of those iconic cult classic movies. When it came out, like, people were like, what the fuck is this? But now it's like, man, Beetlejuice is a cool flick. Like, the idea behind Beetlejuice really is a cool movie, and it's been so long since I watched the original Beetlejuice. So, like, I'm kind of excited to go back and watch that movie, give it, like, a clean, because that's one of the movies, like, since we started doing this podcast all those years ago, like, I've never watched since then to look at it from, like, a slightly more critical eye. And I couldn't tell you the last time I did see it, like, even as an adult, you know what I mean?
So I agree. It's just not on my radar. I mean, it's in the films. It's in the films on my phone. It's a hard one for me to turn over and just listen to it while I work because, like, I don't know. It's one of the ones I want to revisit.
It's a visual
movie,
too.
It is. That's the thing.
And also, you should tell Ridley Scott he should watch it on your phone with you.
Of all the things that you can put your foot in your mouth by saying when you're a big director, but that's got to be one of the dumbest right there. Jeez Louise. But I think it's a big deal. Beetlejuice. I really hope, especially with some of the returning cast, I really hope this movie gets the love it deserves. And I have a feeling it's not. It's just because, let me ask you this. Does the younger generation even care? I know I ask this question a lot, but like, do they even care about Beetlejuice? How old does a kid have to be right now to care about Beetlejuice?
I think you'd be hard pressed to find a whole handful of kids that even know what Beetlejuice is.
That's kind of my point.
But, with their casting choice for young female leads, you have Jenna Ortega, and like, she's as big of a young star as you can be right now on the lady side. So, she's got her own pool, so.
And, it's weird about just Jenna Ortega. I knew something jogged my memory is. I talked to someone this week. I work with a lot. There's a lot of interesting people on my film, and after it's done, I will I'll talk about why. But apparently her and Barrera, there might be a chance they're going back to Scream.
Good.
So, I mean, like, yeah, I don't think you should. I think that was a hot button. I think that was, like, done impulsively, and, like, maybe it was a bad idea for the studio to let that happen, but. I'm surprised. But yes, Jenna Ortega, as you were trying to say with your female lead, she is one that not only girls follow and like some of the younger generation, but she's also very good.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited that this movie is getting made. Although, again, I really hope it doesn't bomb because then we're just not going to get some more of those movies along that same vein that I think we should get. But let's talk about Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Bad Boys 4.
Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, Paola Nunez, Eric Dane, Ian Gruffudd, Jacob Scipio, Tiffany Haddish, Joe Pantoliano, to name a few. It's a feature, and this one's special for me. It was the last month and a half of 2023 for me. No, 2022 and into 2023 until about October I worked on this. It was, I was in Atlanta working on it. It was a big deal. Huge budget, but it's a very big. So, like, I can see watching the trailer was a delight for me because all the things that I remember paying for, all the weird locations that we paid for. Like, I saw some of them. I'm like, oh, that's why they wanted to pay for an ice cream shop. Like, that's why they wanted that
delicious ice cream.
I'm very excited for this. This has more of a. It's a big deal for me because I've always liked Bad Boys, and I got to work on and I got to talk to Jerry Bruckheimer on this show. So. Yeah. On this, we call them all shows, but on this movie, I got to talk to Jerry Bruckheimer for a few minutes. That was a wonderful conversation. But yeah, I'm psyched about this. How are you, Roger, not having the same kind of level of interest that I do?
I mean, obviously, I'm at least slightly excited because it's a Bad Boys movie. And I actually really liked the last Bad Boys movie. I thought they did much better, told a much better story, a much more cohesive story than they did in Bad Boys 2. So I liked it. I mean, they're likable characters, fun action, fun, stupid guy action movie. So here's the thing, though. They really did back themselves in the corner with the names or with the titles of this films. Cause like, look, this should be Bad Boys for life. Right?
Of course
it fucking should. Yeah. Like, bro, you screwed this up.
Well, they didn't, I can tell you because this was
they
something
didn't
I learned.
Expect it to have no, another one. No,
they didn't expect the third one to do nearly the box. But if you remember, that movie did fantastic in
it
the
did.
Box office.
It did.
Maybe it was released at the. It was released in January. It wasn't, you know, they pushed it and, but it did very well. It was also so much better than Bad Boys 2.
Yeah. The other part of it is, too, is like this will be the resurrection of Will Smith, right? Like this will be
sure, one of the things. Absolutely.
Since,
yeah.
Since, you know, to get his PR back going, right? Ever since he slapped Chris Rock.
Wait, is this the first movie since the slap?
His first starring role, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Well, I mean, look, it's an idiot proof one. You know, like it's yeah. got an audience. It'll make all the money. It's going to have it. So
when was Emancipation? Was that the same time frame?
It was the same time frame. Here's the thing. Emancipation was already done by the time he'd yeah. slapped him in the face. Also, Emancipation wasn't really that good.
I was just going to say that, like, they love to, I remember watching the articles, but, oh, Emancipation snubbed because Will Smith, like, no.
No.
Emancipation was bad.
There's no snub. Emancipation nope. stinks.
It wasn't, it just, so. It just wasn't a good movie, but. They love, people love to, studios love to use any kind of excuse they got.
So. Also, Ben Foster, again, talking about people who are just typecast, plays a damn fine, dirty old racist. So
yes, he does. Look, those paychecks cash just like any other paycheck cashes.
Right.
So.
Listen, playing, being a bad guy, buddy, there's money in that.
There is indeed. But I'm actually kind of glad, just for one second, I'm actually kind of, in a weird way, glad that that happened to Will Smith, because now we're getting movies that, like, I know we're getting iRobot 2, we're getting Hancock 2, movies
give
I never...
Give me Bright 2.
Well, that's not the one, like, I hope we get that. That's not on his upcoming, but we've seen things about that. We've seen, like, Bright 2 talked about before.
I mean, they've been talking about Bright 2 since a year after the first one.
Yeah, it was actually
that was in 2018.
Was it? I thought it was like 18 or 19. Yeah. Okay. That's but interesting. That's a thing. Is like I'm glad that Will Smith is like hopefully starting to be on the up and up again because he is, among other things, a very good actor.
Sure.
So you know, I'd like to get him back.
Just remember, the same night he slapped Chris Rock in the face, he won an Oscar for King Richard, which is a great movie.
Excellent movie too.
It's a
yes.
great movie.
Yeah, so I'm excited for Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, but
Bad let's, Boys.
Noted. House of the Dragon Season 2 with Matt Smith, Emma Darcy, Olivia Cooke, Rhys Ifans, Graham McTavish. It's a series. Of course, you know it's a prequel to Game of Thrones. What are we thinking about this?
Hell yeah, brother. Like, look. I mean, look, was the first season perfect? No. But did it do everything you wanted it to do? Yes,
I think so. And Matt Smith was stellar.
Oh, hell yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. And it's they traversed like how many years did we go? Like 25 years or something.
We went like 20 years in the span of not that far of episodes. So, yeah, like, they jumped time quite a significant amount.
I know you and Chris don't fully agree. My thing is they're going to end up with Jamie stabbing the Jamie stabbing the king. That's how this is going to end. But that's just me. I mean, it's
I just don't think that helps them do that. Like, why put yourself in that corner? However, so one other thing to talk about Game of Thrones stuff for just a second. They did finally announce some stuff about their other spinoff that they're doing, the actual spinoff, not the alleged Jon Snow one, which will probably never happen.
Oh, West of Westeros or whatever?
Yeah, okay. Where the one with the Sir Duncan... In the Sir Duncan and Egg, whatever that one's called, like they finally made those people.
Oh, okay, kind of, like, nice.
Picked those people. I forget the official name of that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find. That's weird because I'm now very curious.
Sir Duncan the Tall. Yeah, that's Duncan the Tall is one of the characters from the Game of Thrones lore. He's getting his own spinoff. So yeah,
okay.
The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. That's the name of it. Follows Sir Duncan the Tall and his liege, Egg.
Oh, okay. That's anything yeah. in that universe has serious potential because I mean I don't. But I mean, is there really? I know we just talked about on the episode, we talked about the Netflix Damsel. We talked about what's, and then we ended up talking about Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones might go down in history as like one of the biggest you drop the ball moments in television history. Like, absolutely, sure. It might go down. It's like, I still am angry thinking about that. So I wonder, I'd love to know what's changed. Because wait, season one of House of Dragon, was that? That was 2022, wasn't it?
Yep. That'll be almost 2 years.
Okay, so.
Here's the thing. These things take a long time to film, and there's a heavy amount of CGI with the dragon stuff.
That's true. So. That's very true. So, look, it's safe to say I think everyone's excited. And the first season was very, I don't say there's anything to write home about, but it's good.
If you like Game of Thrones, there's no reason that this shouldn't have done it for you.
I agree. 100%. Yeah, that's as a good a way to look at it as any. But those are trailers are all available on our social if you check them out. Beetlejuice, Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, and House of the Dragon Season 2. Let's talk about the Easter movie of the year, Godzilla, right. Cross Kong, The New Empire. Like some particulars out of the way. All right. Let's look at some Rotten Tomatoes first. We have an audience, a tomato meter score of 54%, which is, probably somewhat accurate.
Sure.
The audience score, 92, probably less accurate. Just saying, but. And let's look at some.
What a fucking disparity that is.
I agree with you. I agree. And let's talk about some Metacritic with. Metacritic, 47. That's probably not a bad place to stick this.
Look. If it was dead nuts at 50, I'd be like, perfect.
Yeah, that's the thing. So a few points of, for or against. That's fine. So let's talk about some Godzilla versus Kong. Cross Kong.
Hit us with some particulars, sir.
Here are some. Rebecca Hall, Kylie Hoddle, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Alex Ferns.
And that's it for the humans that you know.
that's right. It's directed by Adam Wingard, which is a returning director to this franchise. I think it's important.
He did the last one, right?
He did. He did. Written by Terry Rossio and Jeremy Slater. It's important. Terry Rossio always sticks out in my mind because he was one of the Pirates of the Caribbean writers all the way through, pretty much. And that's
Was it the good pirates or the bad pirates?
No. The first one and parts of the others.
Okay.
He gets credit for, but
actually, like the first two. I'll give him the first two is good.
By the way, I think I saw a story this past week about how Disney has completely they're having a reboot, like a complete reboot of Pirates of the Caribbean. Nothing to do with the others at all. It's a complete departure for good or for bad. I don't know how to take that, but for good or for bad.
And don't use the music.
I agree with you on that, but they're going to because that's the most iconic thing about it.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Godzilla Cross Kong, The New Empire. Roger, what's this installment about?
Godzilla and Kong.
All right, let's move to score.
And an empire that they create.
they have tea together.
They immunize the labor force.
Yes, they do. All right. So let's talk about the past for one second. So Godzilla 2014, big disappointment to a lot of people.
I fucking love that movie, though. Yeah. I think it's so good.
I never hated it as much as other people. I don't think it's a 10, but it's certainly not a 0. It's closer to 10 than it is 0, I think. I'm willing to say that, but I don't know how much closer. But yeah, I thought that was an okay start to this universe that they're kind of creating here. Kick-Ass, what's his name? Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Yep. Was a star. He didn't come back
kick-ass
for any of them.
Just referring to him as just Kick-Ass.
All right, Kick-Ass. He came. Walter White. We know how he got cancer.
For sure.
I forgot about that. What's this guy? What's his actor's name? I forget. Oh, Cranston. Bryan Cranston. Yeah. And so we know how that started. But the important part is they got the look of Godzilla right, and I think it was miles ahead of the what was the last Godzilla movie before that? The 98 with Matthew Broderick.
Oh yeah, movie sucked.
Yeah, that movie is. It goes down in history for sucking. And then we got King of Monsters. Was that? No. Kong, actually. Skull Island was two and a half years later.
Yeah.
Kong Skull Island, which was.
I like Skull Island.
I did, too. I thought that was well above what I expected. Sam Jackson. What's his name? Loki. Who is that? Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Hiddleston.
I think it was a very well-written. Oh, Brie Larson, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Actually, I forgot she's in that movie.
Very good movie, an introduction to Kong. And then we get Godzilla King of Monsters. I think that was later, 2019-ish.
Yep.
Which so far, that's my favorite installment in this entire universe so far is King of Monsters. I think King of Monsters
is your favorite installment is that, huh?
Yes, because you know what gets me is the Vera Farmiga and the Kyle Chandler the mother. Yeah, I had the mother sacrifice in the end. It gets me every time. But it actually does an okay thing where it starts. See, that movies don't usually acknowledge, you know, like Transformers or any of these big monsters fighting type movies, they never acknowledge the amount of damage that's been done to like civilian populations.
We're going to talk about that today too. Yeah. Again.
Yeah, we are. But that one starts with the aftermath of the Godzilla from 2014 fight, of how a family lost a child and how devastating that was. That's where Millie Bobby Brown steps in as the older sister for two grieving parents who are dealing with Monarch.
Everything.
Yeah, so that's how, but that's my favorite of these. I think Mothra's sacrifice to bring back Kong, or to bring back Godzilla so he can again fight and win the day. It's just, there's a lot of good in that movie. That's also been the most expensive one, I think. I think that one was like 200. The budget was like 200, and there was so many people. Bradley, I drink my own pee. Whitford was in it. A ton of people that we didn't. That was the end of Ked Watanabe as his dramatic ascent.
Tyrone Lannister.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes. Charles Dance. I think.
Yeah, Charles Dance. I couldn't remember his real name.
Like when he kept looking at the camera and saying "Long live the king" as some like weak nod to Game of Thrones. Yeah,
that was like peak Game of Thrones time.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, and then we got, what was after that? That was Godzilla vs. Kong? No.
No. Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah, that was Godzilla vs. Kong.
Because then they get Mechagodzilla.
Where they
beat his ass.
That's the one where they fight in the ocean, Godzilla and Kong, and like
they
drown like seven U.S. aircraft carriers.
Like carriers, yeah. And then they're in Taiwan, and yeah, it's just, a fucking mess.
So at that point, just that movie alone, with the U.S. military members that had to be killed, with Taiwan that's just been smashed, we're talking like millions of people dead, like collateral damage.
We're going to talk about that again today.
That's my favorite thing to think about. It's like whenever they smash through a building, it's okay, add 40,000 more deaths to the death toll.
So in this movie, where at one point a top half of a building is wrapped up by a whip made of some sort of bone with a weird icicle spear on the end of it wrapped around, is just hurled at somebody. Like, those people were fucking dead.
Dead. Gone.
They're just dead.
Like millions of people.
To never be found.
Correct.
Like, gone.
Which brings us to this one in 2024. So, here's the thing I want to say about this, just as like a little snapshot remark here, is even though some of these might be silly, I don't think any of them are bad.
No, I don't think so either. But I mean, like, this movie's not without problems, and about that here in a minute.
Of course, but I mean, let's talk about another.
Well, hang on, before we dig into the movie itself, I want to ask you one question, because like, there is an Apple TV accompaniment show called Monarch.
I've not gotten into Monarch.
So I have not checked out either. Apparently, though, it's got a high production value, and it stars Kurt Russell. So, like, it might be worth checking out.
I wouldn't. I didn't want to check it out until you just said it stars Kurt Russell. I'm like, okay, maybe I should give that a go because,
yeah, like, it's got real like star power in it. So,
because I always thought Kurt Russell brought the big boy pants to the Fast and Furious franchise, which before Kurt Russell never had big boy pants.
No.
So I mean, that's except maybe the first one. That's the only one I ever took seriously was the first one, but. But so Kurt Russell might do it, but I've never gotten into Monarch. Is there anyone else? Is like Brian Tyree Henry in or anything?
What? I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, it might be worth checking out because I really do enjoy these Godzilla films.
I'm at that weird point in my life right now where I just finished a show. Cause I finished up Masters of the Air last week and I'm about to finish up season two of Reacher. So like, I don't have any episodic shows that I'm watching or trying to catch up on. So that'll be one where like, hey, maybe I'm going to slot this in. We're going to watch an episode or two and see how it goes.
All right. Let me know what you think. And I'll
The only other show I got that I still haven't finished yet is the season one of Beef on Netflix.
Okay. So, okay.
Which is a great fucking show, by the way. One of the shows Netflix does very, very well.
Fair enough.
Check it out.
So that brings us current. And so what's going on in this one, Roger, The New Empire?
So, I mean, we pick up an undisclosed amount of time after Godzilla versus Kong. I assume, though, it's only supposed to be a couple of years later. You know, like, look, everybody's a little bit older. The kid from the the girl, the deaf girl, I forget her name off the top of my head, is a couple years older. You could tell she's actually growing up some, and that's good. The other
Gia.
Part of
Gia,
yes, yeah. Gia. So she's growing up, and you know, the world's kind of in like, hey, you know, this is a real thing now. Like, we have a warning system, much like, you know, remember Pacific Rim, where like they know where the portals are.
Yeah,
they
of course.
Have things guarding them. You know, Godzilla's kind of like our you know, top of the world protector. And you got Kong down in the Hollow Earth, just kind of doing his thing, being all sad and lonely and kind of running stuff down there. So that's where we pick up, and we go very rapidly into some wild shit. So
like, what else do you expect in one? Like, I'm not saying that is like a detriment, but
not out of the realm of like anything different here. I do want to point out some stuff before I start to really like dig into this movie a little bit. So obviously we are talking about a movie about two giant sized monsters fighting each other, right? Like we have,
of course,
we have a guy, you know, we have Godzilla, the ultimate kaiju, dinosaur, dragon, monster, hybrid, whatever. And, you know, we have a 300-foot gorilla, you know, Earth's greatest hero or whatever he's supposed to be, right? So we suspend a lot of belief in this stuff, right? But, like, through this movie, we go through a phase where we not only go, you know, we spend 90% of the movie in the Hollow Earth, or hear me out, below the Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth. What
must be the Hollower Earth, okay?
More Hollow Earth, yeah.
Whatever that's about. Like, I asked Grayson earlier, like, how far down can you go? Like, at what levels do you hit the core? No one seems to know. So, like, there is no answer here. You can just go down, and there are just more worse fucking monsters down there.
I agree.
But like the one other thing too, and I'll dig into the actual plot of this, but like most of this movie involves Godzilla hardly doing anything except going and whipping the shit out of other Titans and just absorbing their power, right? Like doing a steroid cycle, getting himself amped up because he knows something big is brewing. But like 90% of the story that we follow is Kong here. So That's if Kong isn't your thing, like this movie's not really for you, because this is a Kong movie and Godzilla's here.
Well, right? if you've been on board this whole time, you're gonna be on board.
That's the thing,
this.
Right? But I'm surprised that Godzilla is the first person listed, you know, in the name.
Well, they got to keep the name similar for the other. I think so. You want to keep things uniform.
I mean, you could just call it the New Empire and not put either one of their names in it.
That'd be a tough. No, but I think the name is half the battle with studios. It's like, okay, what do we call it?
I mean, sure. But yeah, so I mean, that's something that I thought was kind of weird. Like, we're supposed to suspend a lot of belief, and at some point we're going farther down into the earth. So,
well, I mean, is it any different than any of the other films we've gotten?
No, it's not.
But that's the thing is, so it's just, it's, the thing is, these are all incredibly silly, but they're framed in kind of, I don't want to say real world, so I mean,
well,
but
they're
kind of
they're
a real
in like
world
some
scenario.
Semblance of our world.
Let's
right?
say, okay, some semblance of what we consider to be reality, but so is like Transformers and Pacific Rim and all those, you know.
That being said, though, this is one of the worst versions of our reality to live in a major city.
Of course, because you're dead.
You're fucking dead.
Dead. And your city is destroyed for the next 50 years. It's unlivable.
So, I mean, like, look, how many more landmarks can they take out? Right? That's the real question.
Well, the old movies used to do that in like a tasteful way, like, oh, they're coming closer to this, and like you just know it's coming. But I understand what you're saying.
So let me dig into the movie a little bit. So like, you know, we're a couple years later. We know where like all the portals are from Hollow Earth to the surface. So we got them all guarded. We got them all monitored. We always know when something's coming, which is great until we find out, oh, wait, there's this whole unexplored realm with more portals that just aren't being used, you know, convenient. You know, yeah, it's weird that I have to look at that and be like, this is the story that we came up with, huh? Like, I understand we want them to fight more monsters together. And yes, fuck yes, I do, too, because that's what I need in my life. But like, come on. Come on now.
Well, I disagree with you in this respect. I think the script is actually quite good here. Maybe the content of what we're given and like the visuals kind of lag behind. But I don't think the script is bad by any means.
Well, visually, let's talk visually for just a second. Visually, there's nothing really here that we hadn't seen before besides the Ice Titan.
That's fair. Okay, that's...
Which, you know, like, we'd seen all that stuff before. We'd seen the Ice Titan, everything besides the Ice Titan, which... let me look at the name ups, because they're all named now, and they're all super weird names.
Well, I mean, they would be, coming from old tribes. They definitely would be names that we wouldn't recognize today, but yes, they do have their names.
But yeah, I mean, like, we end up... You know, Gaia is having some issues. Gia is having some issues with being away, being the only person left. And, you know, Rebecca Hall is having this hard time being, like, single mom, doing this, like, trying to do all this monarch work. And, you know, she, you know, enlists Brian Tyree Henry's character to, like, hey, I need your help with some stuff. And he's like, finally, because, you know, besides just hanging out, getting sent through Hollow Earth, you know, like, he doesn't have any street cred, I guess, is what his real problem is.
Oh, he's the podcaster with that. And, like, he just wants to, he knows he's right, and he is right, and we know he's right, but he's got to tell the world that he's right about this stuff.
Yeah, and no one, here's the thing, everything he tells everybody, nobody believes him that he had any part of it, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah, I agree. That's hilarious as well. But, I mean, that's the part, like, if you've noticed, so King of Monsters, I think, is where, like, the cast list was the biggest, and it's kind of been whittled down since. Mm-hmm. You know, we never even revisited Kick-Ass and his family with, what's her face? Who's the, Scarlet Witch? What's her name? Olsen.
Olsen, yeah.
Like, you'd think those two would be notable enough that you might want to bring them back, although maybe they both said no. Or the studio just said, we're going in a different direction. We'll pay you out for your contract, whatever, we hired you for two or three movies. It's fine.
So it's been a 3-year time shift.
So, okay, that makes sense, because G is about 3 years older, I think. Yeah. So that's, like, that's one super measurable way, is, like, always kids are very measurable.
Yeah.
But the cast list has been whittled down, and we are sticking with one of the core elements of these films is the family. We're sticking with Rebecca Hall and
Titan's name is Shimo.
Shimo. Oh yeah, that makes sense. And I did think it's kind of interesting how we did kind of shift to this is more Kong story than it is Godzilla story.
For sure.
Which makes me wonder, is Kong testing more popular than Godzilla at this point?
I think legitimately he's more of a relatable character. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree in some ways, in other ways I disagree. But how do you mean it? I'll tell you why I agree and disagree.
Well, so here's the thing: Godzilla himself has always been the lone wolf kind of guy, right?
Correct.
But Kong, you always see him, like, with a family element. He's more humanized, especially after the last movie. You know, like, has a connection with people. Well, like, actually,
he talks to Gia. Sign language.
He tries to, and he tries to protect them, and all that stuff. So I always thought that was. I think that's probably why. Now, listen, is that 100%? I don't know. But I could definitely see, because listen, Godzilla is, you know, in this like realm that they live in, he's a killing machine, right? Like, he's the muscle. Like, not saying that Kong is a slouch by any means, but, like, he's the guy that's supposed to, like, come in and, like, he's our protector. He's the killing machine. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the
Godzilla is not, or excuse me, Kong is not that.
And one of the, I think it's fun. So one of the IMAXs that I went to see this, it's got a big poster, but I haven't seen the poster since. I've only kind of seen it outside this IMAX at this. It's called The Grove, but it's got a poster of Godzilla and Kong both running at you as you're looking at the poster, like almost like a buddy drama.
Sure.
I thought, wouldn't buddy that be cop. Funny if we had like a buddy
cops cop. Running away from an explosion? Yes.
Remember, do you remember Ghost and Tormund?
I created that show.
Yeah, you did. I laughed for weeks about that. But yeah, it's because, like, I don't... The poster is a good thing to do. I mean, in these big-ass monster movies, like, you got to get the poster right, I think, too. Because you got to draw people
important
in.
Yeah.
But the poster, I think, is important. And the thing that they nailed here is, like... And I think what Chris said, Chris couldn't join us tonight, but he gave us a very quick...
It's because he's in Sweden, yodeling.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm saying... So he gave us a really quick...
They don't have movies in Sweden.
Correct. But he said it was a fun movie... It was a fun movie, but maybe a little less when measured to Godzilla Minus One, which I think we should mention real quick. But
so, I mean, look, if you want to talk about Godzilla Minus One, like, look, dude, I'm here for it because that movie fucking ruled. But, like, that's unfair to this movie.
I think so. It is. However,
so it, Godzilla with, Minus One
proximity
is
of release, though, it's right
sure,
there.
Sure. I mean, it makes sense. Like, look, Godzilla Minus One got like legitimately Oscar buzz, and it has deservedly so, and won an Oscar, by the way, for special effects with a budget legitimately 1/10 the size of this movie.
Literally, that's fact. This, yeah.
Yeah. Budget for this movie is about 145 to 150. So what was Godzilla?
15.
Minus one, 15 million. Yeah. So 1/10 of it. Took home an Oscar for it because good for them. And has the Godzilla Minus One, while like this movie focuses a good bit on the human element, Godzilla Minus One gives us the best version of a human element in Godzilla that we have ever had. Right?
Are you talking about the pilot?
Yeah, in his little pseudo family. Yeah.
His little, his arc of redemption. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Hell yeah.
I agree. But like, I mean, the King of Monsters didn't have a dissimilar arc. Or with, you know, with the mom and with Mothra.
Yeah, but I mean, it was never at the level of that.
Sure,
but
and I, mean, I agree with you.
Like
sure,
I guess
sure.
I know. It's unfair to compare that movie, this movie, to each other.
Sure, so. And I totally understand that. What I hoped Godzilla 1, Minus 1 would do is kind of reinvigorate people's love for Godzilla. Because this is one of those franchises that, like, different generations love it for different reasons. But this is a beloved, you know, Godzilla is a time-tested thing that film is like, that's a movie thing.
Godzilla works.
But you're, yeah, I agree with that 100%. So I'm glad that Godzilla Minus One did win an Oscar, because I'm sure that's doing amazing things for the box office for this movie. Maybe a little more than it would have done. Maybe a whole lot more. But
this movie's making some good money for itself. So like,
I think so.
It's already beat out some other stuff. So
I saw a 9:30 a.m. IMAX show yesterday.
Your little morning movies, love it.
Dude, some weeks I go to a 9 a.m. Saturday movie. Like, you know how amazing that is to get.
Yeah,
to be
no, drunk? Like I've been clamoring for it. Like I got a taste of it a couple of summers ago, and like, bro, I fucking love it.
It's amazing, dude. If I'm a morning person, I'm up. You know, 6:30, 6:45. Yeah. I'm ready.
Never
I have my coffee, and
7:05 a.m.,
yeah,
man.
I'm ready. I got my coffee. I'm ready to go. And it's those 9 a.m. Saturday IMAX movies are like, this is where I live, baby. Right here, give it to me.
Like,
all
it,
yeah.
Legitimately, if they ran that stuff through the wintertime, like, it would make my life so much easier. Like on my days off, I could take my kids to school. I could go to the movies, be home by lunchtime, do whatever else I wanted to do.
Exactly.
Oh, just, my God.
I don't
so
know why
perfect.
They don't. I don't know why they don't, too. Especially the Ohio
because,
Valley
like,
Mall.
Look, they won't cater for me.
Well, no,
I
but you
start
think,
asking. Like, but can you show up here at 9:30 a.m.?
Can you please just play this movie at 9:30, please?
Yeah, I'll be here. It's cool.
I don't. The thing is, in that place, I don't think you ever get more than four or five tickets, even in the best of times, sold for that show. But
no, in the mornings, nah. But I mean,
but here it's just. But even but with the same kind of look is like even here with the 9 a.m. showings, like the mall is somewhat packed here. I'm not kidding you. It's like one of the 12 malls within a 5-mile radius is like there are like hundreds of people at 9 a.m. doing shopping. So. There's not that at the Ohio Valley Mall or at the Highlands. There's not at 9 a.m. hundreds of people shopping, but it's also, you know, 1/30th the population size that LA is. So
yeah, sure.
I understand that.
That's
well.
A generous estimate.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying like, I love, and like, it just, I love those 9 a.m. movies, AMC. Please don't stop doing those. Please do not stop doing those. But yeah, I
start doing them at more theaters.
Fair enough. But yeah, that's where I watch it. But it was my point is it was the second weekend, Saturday, 9 a.m., it was sold out.
Wow, really?
If I hadn't bought my ticket days before, just because I was messing around my app, I'll just get my ticket now. If I hadn't got my ticket, it looked like there was, you know, 350 seats in there. When I bought it, maybe 4 or 5 seats were occupied. I think I bought it Thursday night for Saturday morning. And by the time I came, I was like, holy crap, this is there. I asked the usher, I was like, is this sold out? He's like, yep. Our 9 a.m.s and 9:30 a.m.s do very well here. I'm like, that's amazing. Good for you guys. But so it's still with that kind of box office, it's still going strong. All this long-winded explanation to say it's still getting decent business. If it's getting a 9:30 a.m. crowd, it's absolutely getting, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 o'clock crowd.
Oh, of course. So, of course it is.
I hope this movie starts to trickle because these are better. Here's the thing is like the let's talk about other big franchises for 1 second, just where they sit.
Sure.
I mean, we didn't get more than 2 Pacific Rims. We're never going to get more than 2 Pacific Rims. So.
And that's unfortunate, right? Because like the first Pacific Rim, I think, is a great big monster movie, right? The second one is a pile of shit. Like, it's awful. absolutely awful.
Well, but I mean, look at, so let's look at some, like the other, one of the other big notable ones that I love, Transformers, is like, that also started off strong and then ended up terrible. Bad. Just awful.
Here's the thing though, has been reset to okay again.
If they continue, it, and we're getting one this year, aren't we?
Transformers. Well, we're getting an animated.
Chris Hemsworth animated, is the voice of Prime, so
we'll see.
Yeah. But as a, so these big franchises is, I noticed when I was rewatching this one, is like, this one's always been consistent, like never a 10, but not a 3, you know, like always somewhere, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 range, right up in that. And it just kind of consistently sits there, and they're fun, and they do exactly what Godzilla vs. Kong you'd expect, is big fights, big scale cities, cool, you know, Kong's got an axe, which is cool, it absorbs things, there's all kinds of titans, and there's a monkey whipping things with,
and he gets, you know, he joins the Marvel universe and getting part of the Hulkbuster armor.
Amen.
So like, you know, we made the jokes for weeks about his Infinity Gauntlet. It's not the Infinity Gauntlet, but it is a Hulkbuster piece of armor, right? Like,
and it works.
The thing comes in, it flies, it locks onto his arm, you know, gives him a shield, even injects him with some shit. You know, like, get some ramped up with some steroids, because hell yeah, brother. Why not?
So let's talk about the movie in another fashion, but speaking of that, is like, can we talk about Dan Stevens' character for 1 second?
Sure. Ace Ventura?
He's amazing. I love Dan Stevens.
I love that he actually calls him Ace Ventura.
He does
like, indeed. I laughed at that.
I think he was Beast in the remake of Beauty and the Beast.
Was he?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But my favorite version of him has been to date is Alexander Lemtov in Eurovision, the fire song.
Oh yeah.
But he sings "Lion of Love," and there's no gay people in Russia. No gay people. I love this guy. But can I just ask you?
Sure.
Is his profession dentist for titans?
So I don't know. I think he's like the titan, not dentist. I think it's a little broader than that. I think he's like the veterinarian.
So I was like, how does he know how to do this? How does anyone know how to do this?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Like, I love it. He's got like secret top level government clearance too.
Yeah, it's just very strange. But I mean, that's with the Rebecca Hall character, it works. That's what I was going to say, is I've heard a lot of disparaging about the Dan Stevens character. I'm like, why?
He's fine.
He's fine in this universe. Like, it's perfect, actually. Why do people have such a problem with this guy?
The only problem with him being Australian or whatever nationality, I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be Australian, right? Is he never calls anybody a cunt.
Well,
because, like, look, then you know he's not Australian.
Fair, but...
because that's what they do.
I don't know if he was supposed to be. I mean, they did... I don't know. They talk about having a relationship in college, and I don't know, but I think it works here. And I think, you know, especially with the Rebecca Hall character in the family, the link to Gia and Gia's link to Kong. Mm-hmm. I still say Gia has the best in, what was it? It was Godzilla vs. Kong, where she walks up to, remember Godzilla's, Kong is freaking out on the ship, as he's being transported. And she walks out in the rain and gives in, like, extends her hand, her finger, and Kong, like, puts it, like, that's a beaut, that's arguably the best moment of that movie, bar none, hands down. And like, they keep the Ewa tribe in there with, you know, in the form of Gia, and like that all comes from Skull Island and the lore that we've known for Kong for decades and decades.
Yeah.
I like that part of it. I'm glad that we've kept this going through, because it's, I think that's important, is like, you know, I don't think of, you know, that's the Ann Darrow effect to me. The woman and the king and the traditional King Kong telling, that's the Ann Darrow of like her. She's able to calm and soothe the beast.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that character does. Like, this is what I think that they're trying to combine that with this new age version, is like the old version with like the girl being that one who can calm Kong just by her presence. And like, it, that's what I love about it. Like, it almost for a second very humanizes him, like you talked about earlier, because it, he sees it and he calms down a little bit. I just love that. And I love that this movie carried into it as well. So that's one of the things I really like about this one, is the keeping of the family aspect, which we've gone through a number of cast members. So they could have easily just said, you know what? No, we're going to move on. And like, but I don't know. I don't know. I know you don't feel as strongly about that as I do, but
no. I mean, I really don't. But I mean, listen, the humanizing people, you know, you have to have a human element. You just can't have them just slugging it out, right? Because if you don't have some humans trying to like pseudo explain what's going on in this movie, it really is just them fighting other animals.
Well, that's the thing is that's I like that Rebecca Hall is she's telling all these myths and legends about how we get to the scarred one and the red monkey with the whip is like, I actually didn't hate that explanation, you know, nor no. As a movie we've talked about weeks past and you were really upset about with Ghostbusters. I didn't hate that explanation about how that demon came together either. Like I don't, they're finding ways movies that they used to be bad, like spoon feeding you exposition, but they're finding ways to do it more tastefully these days, I think. And it's a welcome change of pace is all I'm saying. And a large part of this movie is monkeys just slugging it out with each other without humans, which I kind of dug, actually.
It works.
Because they had the mini Kong, which kind of acted as he was the bridge from...
What was his name? Hang on. He had a name, right?
I think they just called him mini Kong.
No. But I gave him a stupider name than that.
They probably did.
Where is it at?
Well, I'll just go on. But I like that little kind of aggressive red Kong is because he's kind of the link between the tribe that's kind of lost their mind and Kong is. And that's the thing about Kong though too is
Zuko.
Okay, is it's just one of those things that works for him, his story, because Kong has always been searching for family. He's always been looking for his own people and where are they and why is he by himself and. You know, the last two movies slowly have given him family, and I really appreciate that little detail. I don't know if it's a little detail because it's a big part of the plot, but like
it's a big part of his plot. Yeah.
But for me, it's a big deal because damn it, I mean, why not in this universe? Like, I don't mean that as a stupid arbitrary question. I mean, like, why not try to give Kong? And at the end of this movie, Kong does have a little family, and it's great. I feel good about that. Is that weird? Is that weird to say?
No, I mean, look, you can be happy for the monkey. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I like the long portions of, you know, they invoke the movie Congo. You know, we are watching you. You know, I thought of Congo when I watched, of course, with Zaire and the Diamond Mines. And anyway, I like the portion where we go with Kong into the caverns, into the monkeys that are, you know, being ruled by fear by their tyrannical ruler. I like that. I even like
they have a terrible labor union,
awful labor union. I even liked I think it's eye-rolly when Kong and like they're fighting in Rome and Italy and the pyramids and they're destroying all these absolutely priceless artifacts in human history. And
so yeah, we tear up a bunch of shit in Rome. We tear a bunch of shit up in Cairo. So yeah.
And the Colosseum no longer belongs to Rome. It belongs to Godzilla.
No, he sleeps there.
That's his.
The other part of it is too, and I thought was funny, is so like we end up in Brazil at one point in this movie.
Rio de Janeiro, yes. And it's a thwacking there too.
And with that part of it is like they do the Christ the Redeemer statue, Cristo Redimo. You know, like this you know, like the famous Fast and Furious line, like this of is course. Brazil, right? Yeah. I honestly thought that there was no chance that the Christ the Redeemer statue didn't get knocked down. It doesn't. Shocker, but I thought for sure some piece of debris was supposed to annihilate that famous landmark as well. It's because nothing is safe.
I think that the filmmakers would have thought, you know what, maybe let's not touch that religious.
Well, we tore up all three pyramids.
Yeah, but that's not religious. Like a Christ statue would be, right?
Bro, they're pyramids.
I'm sure they're pyramids, but
they're tombs.
I get it, but they're also very. I mean, it's also, but like even. You can suspend disbelief. You're like, oh, that's CGI. There was no real monkey tearing up her pyramid.
No, that's true. There wasn't a real one.
But you know, if there's ever been a time in the last 50 years where people are going to be outraged at a fake, the fake statue of Rio de Janeiro being torn down with VFX, it's today. So yeah. Maybe they just thought that was a battle they just didn't want to pick. But I do think you're right. I mean, somewhere someone had an idea of like, you know, let's knock that down. That's iconic. Godzilla loves to knock down iconic statues or buildings. Let's do it. Why not? It would follow the theme of Godzilla, and I totally understand that. But, you know, it's just a thing. But, the death toll there is
catastrophic.
Really catastrophic. And let me ask, usually Chris is my go-to for this, but to me, the CGI in, like, Kong looks real to me.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with CGI in this one.
I think it's like, it's reached another point where, like, it's just... It looks fantastic, almost. Like, it just looks so good.
So when it's just CGI on the screen, well, like, during the large battles with, like, Godzilla, Kong, or when like it's Kong traversing through Hollow Earth, when it is just that part of it, it looks totally fine. When like they have to interact with humans in any way, looks kind of wonky.
It looks better than it has in years past, though.
Wait, listen.
That's for sure.
It's supposed to look better year over year. Normally it doesn't, but it's always supposed to.
You hear us, Netflix? You hear us, Netflix? Yeah, that's
no, they don't
thing
listen.
Well, they obviously don't. I mean, that's obvious. But yeah, there's a lot of this movie that I think is just, it's fun, man. And like, there's just, it's okay to have a popcorn movie every once in a while where you and your buddy just go get a popcorn and drink and just have an afternoon, man. Just watching some big beastie slug it out. Why not?
Well, yeah, the thing is though, is like, there's nothing wrong with having fun at a movie, right?
Nothing
fun
wrong
matters,
at all.
And I've talked about that a lot. With the time of, you know, now where like everybody's got to break down stuff and everything's got to be better than what it is before, I don't think that that's true. Like, you can watch a movie like this, and I'll equate it exactly to a movie like I'm very versed in with Transformers Rise of the Beast, right? A movie very similar to this in the vein of like, look, is it a bad movie? No, not at all. Is it a good movie? I don't even know if it's good, but is it fun to watch and kind of cool to see them like go at it? Hell yes, it is. Like, every bit of that part works.
I agree.
And I'm happy to see like movies like that making a real comeback. Like, not everything's got to be made for an Oscar. The thing is, though, like, you just can't make the movies so bad people are like, this is trash. Because like, once you get to that level, like, people stop caring about it because like, you don't care about it.
Right.
You're just,
I agree,
putting shit out to make money. And that's totally fine, but give it some substance. Just a little bit. That's all you got to do.
Well, but that's the thing is, like, I don't... comparing big franchises here is, like, even Pirates, like, even as bad as uninspired as they got towards the end in Transformers, like, I don't think they're without substance. They just... It just got old fast.
I mean, at one point, we sucked... Yeah, there was a portal to like the bottom of the ocean, and we were fighting there at the bottom.
You mean in Pirates?
Yeah.
Or like when the sea was split, Salazar, yeah, or whoever, I forget who did that. What, I don't even remember what movie that was, the fourth or the fifth one, but yeah, that's... No, I agree. It's just it gets weird fast. But these movies, I don't think do, because it all fits right in like the unit. Like, it all fits to me right in the universe of a Godzilla movie and a Kong movie, and or a combined effort movie with Godzilla and Kong. Is like, even if something stupid, like when Godzilla and Kong are fighting and then Mechagodzilla comes and Kong for Godzilla versus Kong in 2021, is it's not some stupid, like, they don't have some stupid like head nod look to each other like, hey, we got to work together to kill this guy, to kill this mega version of me. It's, you know, the little girl tells Kong as he's laying there almost dead, and you see Godzilla in the background getting his ass whipped by Mechagodzilla, the little girl goes to Kong and signs to him, you know, Godzilla's not your enemy.
Yeah, get your ass up.
Get your ass up and go help it. Like, it's not, we don't get some, I mean, it actually fits in universe, unlike, you know, yeah, we don't get, like, the monkey doesn't give, like, Godzilla like, a head nod. Like,
well,
that would have been stupid.
We get that in this movie, too, when, like, when they portal out to, in Cairo, where he goes to get Godzilla.
Well, we almost get it when like Godzilla gets to him and Kong's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
No,
I don't want to
like,
fight.
He's like, bro, I don't want to fight you. And then like end up, they tussle for a little bit. And, like, he just like bitch slaps him. He's like, bro, I told you I didn't want to do this today. I like, he's trying to like drag him into the portal. Like, I appreciated that. I thought that was funny.
I did, because the filmmakers here realized you can't just have, I mean, it's okay to have bro moments, but save those for when it matters.
I actually can equate some of this to why Godzilla was like trying to fight him. Because think about it, right? To that point in this movie, it's something that really does happen in this movie, is Godzilla is so amped up, right, to fight people. Like, he's been going through and eliminating Titans, taking their energy, and he's as powered up radiation-wise as he can be. Like, he's glowing pink purple, which, you know, is like his highest level of power. And like, he's ready to go. Like, I'm ready to whip somebody's ass. Like, I know something's wrong. I am fucking ready. Let's go. And he's like, hey, Kong, I don't like you that much anyway. I'm going to beat your ass too.
Look,
you ever meet a dude that's a little bit drunk and really ready to fight?
I mean, we just watched Roadhouse last week. We talked about Roadhouse last week.
Same kind of point.
Same concept. bar fight. Like, no one
sometimes
does.
Sometimes you hit your buddies in the face too. Like, shouldn't have been standing there, son.
Sorry, bruh. Shouldn't have been standing there. But overall, so let's move into the last phase of this one. I mean, it's
okay.
So overall, I don't. Here's some thoughts I just have going into this. Like, so overall, so let me ask you this: who is a target demographic for this movie? And I know it's a simple question.
Oh, dudes, 18 to 40.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's very
actually, probably a little bit longer, 18 to 50, probably.
Okay, fair enough. Because the time frame of Godzilla, I think you're probably right. I would allow, you know, 60 or 70. Okay, Godzilla's been around a long time.
It's a dude movie, though.
That the fandom could be, you know, go back several decades. I don't think, but this movie's very enjoyable, I think, for both sexes. For anyone who wants to go to this movie, I don't think it's like, well, women wouldn't enjoy it. It's just dumb fun. That's my point. And I think that, you know, your phrase of fun matters is important here, because it's at some point, you're like, you watch. I forget who suplexes who off the pyramid, but you watch a monster suplex happen off the pyramid.
Oh, Godzilla suplex Kong.
Okay, yeah, I mean, at some point, that's just like
my wife awesome. Leans over to me in theater. She goes, "He suplexed him." I'm like, "Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did." Yeah, but like, at some
hell yeah,
point,
brother.
At some point, though, like that's you can't hold that against the movie. I don't think. And I've heard a lot. So a lot of, you know, I'm working on a movie, so there's a lot of like pretentious people walking around all the time. And I mentioned I was going to go watch this in IMAX. I was really excited. And one of them says, oh, pff, good waste of time. I'm never
look at him and go be like, yes, yes,
I'm,
it is.
Well, I'm never going to retaliate in a negative way in the office, but I just think you want to be a filmmaker and you don't understand the value of a big budget movie like this. Good luck. Good luck with the studio ever wanting to do anything with you, because you just don't, you've missed some of the very obvious things here. Is fun matters, and without these big blockbuster movies that make all the money for the studios, you don't have these tiny art house pretentious films.
No, you don't get the rest of it.
That's the thing. I don't mean to say all art house films are pretentious. I don't mean to say they're all pretentious, but like,
I mean, there's a lot of them that are pretentious.
Sure, but those don't fund studios. Films like this fund studios, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. That's one of my final thoughts. I don't know if you have any like thing, and you know, I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but like, I know we talk about that, but not in that way all the time. I really hate when people look down on these type of movies because they're two big monsters fighting. Well, I like that. Well, turns out I enjoy watching that on the screen.
Yeah, it's pretty rad sometimes.
Turns out, and it looks great. Like I didn't watch this in 3D. I had the option. I chose IMAX instead. I think that would have been rad also.
I did not watch it in 3D either.
You watched it in Big D?
I did watch it in Big D, yeah.
Which, I know the Big D you're talking about. Like, that's still very respectable of a enhanced viewing of 3D. That's not quite IMAX, but it's close.
No, it's a large screen theater.
Yeah, it's huge. And the sound is great.
The other part of it is, too, is like this movie, if you look at it from the perspective of movie's not ever going to win an Oscar. And it's okay, right? Like, that's all of this movie needs to be. Just be decent story-wise and have, you know, buildings get smashed, you know, lizards fighting monkeys, fighting, you know, stegosauruses fighting other monkeys, right? That's all we want. That's all we want to see. It doesn't need to be overly deep or more than that. That's what we want. So,
well, if you want that, then if you want more than that, then, I mean, one thing I wanted to bring up was you can go watch the 2005 Jackson version of King Kong, and it is a movie that was made to win Oscar. It didn't,
no, but it stinks.
It certainly wanted to, but it has all that the sweeping score, those really reflective moments, the sacrifice, the on top of the building, the Brody character gets up there and finally realizes at the end what Darrow's been fighting for, what Kong's been fighting. It has those moments. This is not that, and that's okay. Not every movie has to be contending for Oscars. I mean, I used to think, why wouldn't you just want every single movie to be a contender for Oscars? Well, because then you have a lot of movies that people don't care about. You know,
not a lot.
Yeah, nothing's making money, but on that same note, I talked to just something like this is. Because one of the conversations spurned with one of the picture card guys is working on this, and I mentioned, have they heard anything about the next Fast and Furious? And he goes, actually, We may not even get them because the last movie cost more to make than it took in, or it cost more to make than the box office. So interestingly enough, I don't know. I mean, that was just an offhand comment, but again, it's like big budget. If big budget stops making movies, stops making money, it all shuts down.
Sure.
So, and that's kind of my final thought is like, we need movies like this and they're fun and I enjoyed it forever. For all those reasons, this movie for me is a 5.5.
Oh, okay. Right. It's scoring it.
I mean, it could have been a, I think it could have been a 6. You know, I'm just going to bump it up to a 6. I thought it was very enjoyable. It's a lot better than it could have been. It could have been just ass, but it's not. Kong is well realized. His story was well realized. I think the script is actually really good, really tight. But I just think it's a 6. It's to me, this movie's a lot of fun. 6.
Okay. I mean, listen, that's totally fine because that's exactly where I'm going, right? Like, this movie could have been real bad. I don't have any expectations when it comes to these movies at all. Like, legitimately, I try to come in with a completely open mind because, you know, we've talked about this before. Like, Godzilla versus Kong, I was okay with. Godzilla King of Monsters wasn't the biggest fan of. I thought that movie was fucking a little bit, not a little bit. It was a lot of bit too much. One of those kind of deals. But like, this movie's fine. Like, it works. What it is fine. Like, you get to see fist fights between giant monsters and buildings and destruction and all that. Like, you get to see all that here. So like, what if you shouldn't be at this movie? That's not what you wanted to see. Like, it's not made for any of that. Like, why are you here? What were you looking for?
That's the thing, is how are you coming into this movie not knowing what it is or have seen one of them before that? How do you not?
I'd be surprised if somebody walked out of this movie and be like, man, I didn't expect that.
I'd like to know what they were expecting then. That's the whole thing. No, like, what the hell were you expecting?
Nope. Stupid. No, yeah, it's fine. It's a six for me. I enjoyed it. I will absolutely watch this movie again when it hits streaming, when it hits, but this movie should be. I guess I don't know what streaming service it'll
Max.
Be on.
Max.
Is it Max?
It's Warner Brothers. Yeah, they're all Warner Brothers. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this movie will be on there that way, and we'll go from there.
Well, it'll be by June, definitely. It'll be on, I imagine, by June 1st, it'll be on stream. It'll be on Max streaming. Because right now they have all of them on there, and they'd be foolish not to offer you at one time the full suite and maybe entice people to pay one monthly, you know, get it for monthly and knowing they can just watch them all. I don't know. It just seems like a missed opportunity if they don't do that. But right now they're all on Max. So
yeah, you want large monsters beating each other up. This is fine. You want to watch a good Godzilla movie though. Godzilla Minus One, far superior.
Godzilla Minus One is like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, no, it's fucking
rad. I was just thinking about today after I got out of this movie. Like, God, this movie was fun, but the other movie was like an 8, was like a 9 on a 10 scale. Like, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's.
Yes, indeed. But I mean, I'm happy with this one. How many more do you think we get of these?
Man, that's tough.
I would say we're at least two or three more.
I assume we get a couple more, right? But here's the thing. Like, if it stopped today, like if this was the last one, isn't that still fine too?
Yeah, but I mean, yes, because the story, you know, it always finishes each movie. Yeah.
But yeah, it's always a complete story. So
I hope we get at least one or two more of these. I want three more, but if we don't get three, I understand. I mean, like, three more is like another, that's like another 10 dedicated years to these budgets. So
yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot to ask of Warner. Well, it's a lot for Warner Brothers to commit. But I mean, if they're still making money, why? Although
get
this is
some money, because that'll lead to the better Harry Potter show.
God, I hope that's good. God, I hope that's good. It's very important for Max that is good too, because look, everyone knows the disaster that was Rings of Power. Everyone saw that. So that's what you can't do, is that. you cannot pull the Rings of Power anymore. You just, not with that much money, you can't. Anyway, thank you for joining for this discussion. This has been episode 377A of Ford Love Cinema, a movie podcast. Each new episode posts every Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. and Friday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice of the following 6. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Also on that list is YouTube. And keep in mind, the YouTube posting is later than these postings. Please leave a comment or two, rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. More importantly, thank you very much for listening. Check out the show on Twitter at Love Cinema Pod. I am at Grayson Maxwell 1.
I am at Rod Stillian.
Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, always posting new news stories on social media. And check us out on
posting nudes.
those two, yes. Check us out on YouTube. Also, send us an email to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. And next week, we are taking a look at Monkey Man and Society of Snow on Netflix. We're a bit late on that, but it did win an Oscar. So, did it, or was it just nominated? It won.
I don't know. It's just nominated.
Okay. Nominated. Okay.